Hello and welcome back to a static electricity-filled episode of the BenHeck.com podcast. I am Ben Heck.
And I am Jones.
Yes.
I have no other name. I'm like Madonna now. Or Shakira. Insert lame pop star here.
Wouldn't you rather be like Shakira than Madonna?
I'll keep it PG. But
so yeah, that Modern Warfare game came out.
Yes. And we both bought it.
Yep, because my PC friends had boycotted it.
Yeah, Ben was kind of on the fence and lamenting his options, and I had read about the spec ops mode, and I was like, well, tell you what, if you get it for the 360, I'll get it for the 360. And so that's what happened, and fortunately, we each had gift cards that, in Ben's case, made the game free, basically, and for me, it made it like $13, so it was fairly easy to stomach, and it's,
the low-resolution graphics aren't easy to stomach.
Oh, for Christ's sakes. Low-resolution, my ass.
Compared to the PC, it looks like a turd sandwich with a side of turds.
Whatever.
So, yeah.
Have you played it on the PC?
No. It would look better.
Oh, I don't doubt it, but I don't give a shit. It looks pretty damn good
Isn't that sad, though? I mean, they consolized the PC version, so I bought the console version.
Good man. Hey, it makes sense because the controller monitor thing you made for Infinity Ward, it was for the Xbox version.
That's true. So, I'm not going to watch the credits, though, until I beat it. I'm a purist.
Yeah, I wasn't going to either, and then I was, like, sitting there in, like, the lobby, and I was eating my food last night, and I was like, oh, here's the credits. I guess I can watch these. So, I did. The end.
Yay. Because I am in there, apparently.
You are. I have seen it.
That's pretty cool.
And they actually got your name, like, they used your real name, which I was impressed with, because, you know, whenever you, like, show up in shit online, they always just call you Ben Heck.
Right.
You know, but nope, you're Benjamin Heckendorn in the credits. So I thought maybe they'd put, like, a, you know, Benjamin, and then in quotes, Ben Heck Heckendorn. But
that's redundant.
I know, but I thought that might happen, but nope, it's just Benjamin Heckendorn.
Sweet.
So I thought that was cool.
I can't wait to beat the game and then play it. Okay, well, this podcast has kind of come quickly, which is probably a surprise to many. Don't worry, we'll make sure the next one comes slowly.
Well, it has to be by Christmas, because we have to do Mel Gibson's nativity story, which we alluded to last time.
Burn all the stables. No crib for a bed.
Follow that star.
Where's the fourth wise man? He's here. I've got him. Blah, whatever.
I'm torturing him or something.
Yeah. Anyway,
plying him for information.
The last podcast we did, we completely forgotten that Jones had the new Xbox dashboard update in beta.
Yes.
And we didn't talk about it at all. So the idea was to get this podcast done before that came out.
Yes.
And I'm going to be gone most of next week, so the only way to do it was to do it tonight.
Since for once we actually, you know, have something before it's supposed to come out, so it's like, why not talk about it or something, so. What the hell.
We were almost capsized, though, because I had the Bill Paxton pinball thing, and Jones is like, oh, let me look at that code, and then 2 hours later.
Yeah, 2 hours later, slight progress was made.
Yeah, I wonder what that is.
That spin shit is like some weird programming language, though.
Yeah, just when I think I know enough of it, I don't.
Well, that's like any programming language, though.
The thing that the problem we were having today was in aliens mode. If you clear all four drop targets, you enter aliens mode, and then it says, Hudson, run a bypass, which is a line we heard about 90,000 times in the last 2 hours. And then there's two LED indicators of two digits each, and those simulate the sentry guns that were in the movie Aliens. And there's you know, two LEDs with like 99 in each of them. And it's like the guns are shooting, so you hear like the brrrrap, like the alien guns, and then one of the counter goes down, and then brrrrap, and the other counter goes down, and the goal is to hit all four drop targets again before both those numbers hit zero. And if you do, you get the number of bullets left times 1,000 points or something. And then you also go into super aliens mode, where you can just rack up all sorts of points, and the entire board makes alien sound effects. Anyway, the problem we were having was we used the same code that runs the digits on the display, but it wasn't working on the LED display, because it's got a little separate display. And I think we got it working to the end, but wasn't it like something, it's certain numbers it doesn't like?
Yeah, it doesn't seem to like the number 9 for some reason.
Yeah, so
I don't know.
If you start the counters at 9999, it won't work correctly until it gets down to like the 7,000s.
Yeah.
But if you start at like 5,000, it works fine.
Kind of.
Well, except for the wiring mishaps I have.
Yes, but yeah, beyond that, it seems to kind of do what we want it to do.
Right. Well, yeah, there's two numbers. There's like, you know, 99 and 99. And what I actually do is I just have a four-digit number, like 9,999. And then the first two digits are for the left gun, and the second two digits are for the right gun. And then basically if you want to, you know, decrement the right gun, you just minus one. If you want to decrement the left gun, you minus 100. That way it's just one number. Simple, we thought, but... So, that's what was going on earlier here.
Yes. High excitement in Verona.
High excitement on the high seas.
And in static electricity land.
Uh-huh.
And we wonder where Dale is, because Dale, as none of you know, is apparently the guy from the game Infamous, because he has some sort of strange ability to drain car batteries. So the running joke is that we just refer to Dale as Infamous now. But
even then, that wasn't even the guy's name in the game.
No.
But Dale's name is Infamous.
Yep. So if you see him, there you go.
If you see him, guard your cell phone well.
Yeah, drive the other way, because otherwise your battery will be dead.
Okay, well, so yeah, we're going to discuss the Xbox.com, or the Xbox dashboard updates. Yeah, and talk about Modern Warfare 2 a little bit, and whatever else comes up along the way.
Which I'm sure something will.
So this is basically podcast 64.5.
Nice.
Because we went overtime, like Halle Berry.
Yes.
Game over. It's overtime.
At least nobody's skin is like marble that we're aware of, anyway.
That movie was so... It was awesomely bad.
Yes.
Like 2012 will probably be...
Oh, God. It's going to be... I don't know. I still want to see it, but God, I saw that's like almost 3 hours long.
What?
It's like 2 hours and 47 minutes for the freaking runtime. It's like, Jesus Christ.
2 hours and 40 minutes of buildings falling over?
Apparently. Well, if it's anything like his last two movies from what you've said, it'll be like 15 minutes of buildings falling down and then people walking around for the other 2.5 hours.
Hmm. Well, I bet you it opens big. I wouldn't be surprised if it opened around 80 million. I think it'll really open big.
I've actually heard people talking about it, like at work and stuff, which doesn't happen very often with movies, so...
Oh, I see that the lackluster opening for A Christmas Carol is not enough, that Zemeckis is already circling the Nutcracker suite.
Ugh. God damn it. What a waste of talent. We were lamenting this, like, what, last weekend or something, me, you, and Dale, and just borderline, like, pissed off about it, because Zemeckis is, like, so talented. I mean, he's the guy who did Used Cars, Romancing the Stone, the Back to the Future movies, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Forrest Gump.
Oh, yeah, that was last weekend.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's, like, all those movies, and then, oh, by the way, he did, like, Contact, and... You know,
because we're talking about Contact when she runs to get the pills, and then she is running through the house. But then she opens it. What is it? She opens the mirror, and
because the camera like follows her into the mirror, and she closes it, and then like you see her running away. I don't know, it's, like, really weird, like, how they do it, and I know I've watched stuff where, like, other directors have talked about it, and they're like, we still don't know how the hell he did that shot. But, like, Zemeckis, he, in a lot of his movies, there's stuff like that, like you were talking about in Back to the Future, there's some moments where it's just very well done, and they're, like, physical shots that, like, had to be done.
Right, and the effects are so good, you don't even think about it until afterwards.
Yeah. Because, like, that shot in Contact, I never thought about that being, like, one shot until after I saw this thing where these guys are talking about it, and I'm like, no way, that ain't one shot. And I watched it, and it's like, holy shit, you know?
Well, Roger Rabbit's like that, too. I mean, there's whole sections of that movie where it's, like, just one shot, and you don't even really think about it.
Yeah.
But it is.
And, like, What Lies Beneath, there's, like, a bunch of shots, like, the one going where it goes into the car.
Yep.
And there's, like, no way the camera could physically do it.
And
but
it's all real footage that has been trickified, which makes it impressive.
Which makes it so cool,
but if you're in a cartoon, it's not impressive because it's all fake.
Yeah, and, like, this shit, it's, like, you know, big deal. You put a bunch of, like, dots on Tom Hanks or Jim Carrey and film them and then lay some shit over them. You know, who gives a fuck, to be honest?
Yeah, if you look at the stuff in Who Framed Benjamin Button, the curious Case of Benjamin Button, that stuff is pretty impressive. But again, it was just his face. I mean, the rest of it was all, you know, physical.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like, that stuff was actually pretty impressive. And like, so then if you go into something like Christmas Carol, it's like, who gives a shit?
Yeah, it's just
even like Beowulf. Why not just fucking film the movie? I mean,
yeah.
Half that, more than half that movie just took place in that one fucking mead hall, you know?
Exactly.
Like, why not just throw up a mead hall set and have a bunch of guys in there with swords and blah, blah, blah? But no, you had to spend hundreds of millions of dollars rendering it.
Yeah. Well, that's because they had to get that shot where he's fighting that sea beast and pops out of its eyeball and screams out his name. Beowulf! God, that was so funny. It's like, ever watching that, it's like, he didn't just yell out his name, did he?
But to who?
But that's, like, the only one of these movies that I guess Polar Express was okay. But, I mean, that's the problem, like, all these movies, they're, like, okay. You know, it's like, Zemeckis doesn't do okay. You know, it's like,
I don't know. What Lies Beneath was pretty okay-ish.
But still, it had, like, cool moments in it, and it, like, you could tell it wasn't just made by, like, Paul Worthless Shit Anderson or something, you know? You could tell there was a craftsman at work, even if the story was, you know, not the greatest.
Oh, I'm going to do my impression of that movie.
I'm Harrison Ford, and, I'm married to Michelle Pfeiffer, but,
that's not good enough for me.
Apparently I killed some other woman, and I'm going to drug my wife with something that will paralyze her, but she'll still be conscious, which will allow me to say the plot to her, otherwise she wouldn't know.
That bathtub scene was awesome, though.
Oh, I mean, the movie was fine.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's nothing like his, you know, 80s and 90s work.
See,
or
I like Contact because it involved aliens.
You know, Dale always rips, well, he doesn't rip on it, but he doesn't really care for that movie that much, but I don't know. I like it a hell of a lot. I guess his big problem with it is that at the end it's her father instead of some, you know, alien race somewhere, but I don't know.
It's probably the aliens taking the form of
that's like the manifestation, yeah, because it's, I mean, the thing is more about her, like, believing, you know, because it's like her whole thing, you know, is all, like, science and everything, and, you know, you got McConaughey always, you know, the devil's advocate throughout the whole movie or whatever, you know, with, like, faith and, you know, just taking things on faith, and she's all like, nope. Whatever, but then this all happens and she comes back and everybody's like thinking she's full of shit and all that because it happened like in a split second of real time. But like she went off, you know, and went to this place and had this conversation with her dead father and, you know, and she's like, no, this happened, you know, and nobody believes her. And so the movie's like more about her journey of kind of opening her mind, I think, more so
in
than
that
anything.
Movie, wasn't it something like They built the machine twice, and it cost like $400 billion each time.
Yeah.
And that was a big problem. But now, I mean, the government would do that in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah. Shit, we'd make like 10 of them.
Why build one when you can build 10 at 10 times the cost? But yeah, it's just unfortunate that Zemeckis chooses to just sit there and like direct a bunch of douchebags with ping pong balls taped to their butt.
See, and remember back when they were first talking about the Transformers movie and he was going to be the one doing it?
Mm.
And then he didn't. And that's kind of when he went off and started doing all this shit, pretty much.
I would have loved to see a Zemeckis Transformers movie.
I know. I mean, I enjoy the current Transformers movies, but if Zemeckis would have made them, they would have been, like, way cooler and way better, I have no doubt. Yeah, I remember that, because it was like, Zemeckis was going to direct them, Spielberg was going to produce, it's like, my God, this is going to be fucking awesome. But then, nope, he decided to, I don't know, go off and just film shit in a room.
Just like Jimmy Cameron.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. It's like Zemeckis used to just, you know, use technology in his films when it made sense, when it served the plot and the movie, and now it's like he's making movies for the sake of technology, which is lame.
I feel like the Back to the Future movies, especially like the second and third, I mean, those are done back in the pre-digital era. I mean, they had, well, not much. Most of it was still, like, you know, optics.
Models and yeah. Optics and things, yeah.
But they were still doing, like, amazing stuff, like, you know, like, the part where young Biff and old Biff are in the car, and it pulls into the garage, and they're both in the same shot, and it's like, done before they had, like, you know, computers.
Yeah.
Or the amazing, amazing shot in Back to the Future 2, when the DeLorean is coming back. I think it's when they go to Hilldale to, like, get Jennifer or whatever.
Okay,
and there's a model of the DeLorean in the sky, and then it passes behind a lamppost.
Yeah.
And then that's, like, the real DeLorean, like, just kind of rumbling a little bit, rolling down the road. Yeah. And it's a perfect transition, and it's done without computers.
Yeah.
Stuff like that was awesome. But the thing is, you know, if you're in a completely fake environment, it doesn't matter what you're doing, like, you're throwing Scrooge across the moon and all this. It doesn't matter because it's all fake.
Yeah.
There's really no skill to it. It's just, I mean, there's artistry, but there's really no technical skill.
Yeah. And you know it's fake. I mean, in these movies, obviously, you know it's fake, but, you know, big effects movies, you can generally tell when something's fake and when something's, like, real. Like, when you watch Casino Royale, you could just tell that they did that shit at the beginning of that movie, like, for real. You can tell it was real stunt work.
The gasoline truck chase.
Mm-hmm.
That was all real.
Yeah, and you could just tell. Mm-hmm. Like, just the camera angles, just, I don't know.
Well, it's even like in a movie, if they have someone in a car, and if they're actually blue-screening the background, or if they're actually just towing the car, you can tell.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's like, as far as that shit's come, it still hasn't gotten to the point yet where, you know, they can make you not think that what you're watching is fake, I guess.
And that's the same problem that Avatar is probably going to have.
Yeah.
Is it just...
God, that's only like a month away.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll go see it. I'm not going to be like Dale and say I won't go see it. I know I'll go see it.
Oh, yeah, I'll go. Fuck it. What else will I have to do that day?
I just don't know, though. I mean, my hopes aren't high.
And maybe that'll help.
Maybe.
If you go in with lowered expectations, maybe it'll...
Well, don't you just ever get tired of, like, environmentalism and stuff in movies?
Yes.
I do. Or, like, any, like, romantic comedy, the woman's always, like, you know, does yoga and, like, drinks wine and... It's like... Ugh.
Yes.
Remember How I Met Your Mother, though, when Robin tried to turn American? Did you see that one?
Is that a new one?
It's fairly new.
Yeah, I haven't watched anything from this season, so...
When she was walking down the street, and then she was, like, you know, spitting and, like, yelling at people and throwing litter around, and like, yeah, I'm American!
Nice.
That's one thing I like about that show, like, her character. Like,
yeah, because she's, like just, real.
Well, I don't know if she's totally real.
Well, but...
She's certainly not, like, you know, like a vegan environmentalist character. I mean,
also, I like she sits around and smokes cigars and, you know, drinks whiskey and
and, like, goes to the gun range. It's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, well, even like, what's her face? Allison Hannigan's character. I mean, she's kind of more hippie-ish, but not that much. And then like her husband on that show, he was wanted to be an environmental lawyer, but it didn't work out. So he went to an evil corporation. See, but that's why
which
I like
is reality.
Yeah, it's kind of realistic.
Because it's like, yes, people are idealistic when they're in college and, you know, want to, you know, save the world or do whatever. But then they get out into the world and then they realize, oh, wait a minute, living costs money and maybe I'd rather, you know, do the same job over here and get paid like three times as much than do this and, you know, fight for my ideals. Like, my ideals can wait like 20 years, you know?
Yeah.
Or I'll donate some of my money, you know, to Greenpeace or something so I can sleep at night, you know? It's like, yeah.
So, yeah, that was... That whole thing started with being tired of environmentalism in movies. See, that's the thing about How I Met Your Mother. I'm sure in real life, and you know, Patrick Harris is, like, probably an activist or whatever, but on the show, he's, like, just a capitalist douchebag, and it's awesome.
Yeah. He's Captain Capitalism.
But, yeah, or like, you know, he's like a womanizer, but his character is not punished for that.
Yeah.
That's kind of thing, too. Like, you know, sometimes they'll let you do things in movies, but you have to get punished for it. Like, if you smoke, you have to cough or be like a Russian.
Yeah.
What they call it? Thank you for smoking. Rabs.
Rabs, yeah.
Yeah. See, there are people who smoke and are perfectly nice people.
Yep. They're all over the place.
And they do cough. But oh, wait, no, but if you cough in a movie, that means you die.
Yes. Yep. Well, see, and that's one of those things where I think, like, TV gets it better than, like, Hollywood does. Because, like, The Office is, especially, like, now, it's having that sort of stuff go on. Like, the things with Jim and Pam.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, now that they're, like, together and Jim's got his new position and he's kind of starting to turn into Michael Scott a bit. And, you know, I think he's realizing, like, because he comes out, you know, he's like, oh, yeah, we'll take care of this. He's like, Michael doesn't know what the hell he's doing. Here's what we do. Blah, blah, blah. He goes out there and people are, like, you know, throwing, like, knives at him practically with his ideas. And then he starts, you know, kind of, like, regressing and he'll be like, you know, he'll just start, like, making, like, goofy sounds and doing weird shit like Michael does.
Yep.
And I think it's, you know, he's, like, realizing that Michael's job isn't as easy as he thought it was, and it even is resulting in some conflict with Pam at times, which is interesting. And I don't know, I like that show. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, extreme moments to the characters, but at their core, you know, the characters are still very authentic, I think, and
yeah, this season has, like, been pretty good so far, now that I've caught up with it.
Yeah.
Because Jim finally got mad!
Yes. I can't believe that, like, he swore at Michael and everything. I was like, wow!
Did you watch the newest one?
Well, there's a new one tonight, but I watched the one, I think I watched the one from last Thursday. Pretty sure I did.
The one with the date?
I was just like, wow. I was kind of like upset with Michael for once. I'm like, come on, man.
That was a little ridiculous.
Yeah. But it is the sort of thing he would probably do.
Poor Michael Scott. Well, actually, not in that case. He deserved it.
Yeah, then like Pam was going to like punch him.
Yep. And she did.
But I like that, too, because it's like Michael will screw up any situation, because it's like, you know, in that moment, you know, everything was starting to come together, because Pam was like, wow, he really does make my mom happy, and, you know, all this, and so she was, like, starting to, like, warm up to the idea, and then he's like, yeah, you know, I'm like 60, or she's like, you know, 15 years older, nope, I can't do that, and, you know, he's making up all his bullshit excuses and dumps her on her birthday.
Some people rob the cradle. And I don't want to rob the grave.
But yes, so.
So I guess the moral of the story is, Hollywood, we are tired of movies about the environment or fucking Iraq. Oh, fucking Iraq. Yes. Right, that Stare at Goats movie, that takes place in modern day Iraq. I mean, it looked like it was like some sort of like 70s or 60s thing.
Yeah.
Nope. He does flashbacks to the past, but nope, modern day Iraq, of course.
Yeah.
Syriana.
Fail. Yeah, I don't know.
But that's okay, because now we're getting like 9,000 movies based off board games.
Ugh.
I read they had the plot synopsis for Monopoly today.
Lovely.
Yes, do you want to hear it?
I don't know how I can't.
Okay, you're right, you can't. So, like, this guy works on Wall Street, and he's not very good, but he's good at Monopoly, right?
Oh, this sounds terrible already.
Yeah. And then, apparently there's some woman he likes, of course. And he goes to sleep one night, and he wakes up, and he goes to pay for something, and all his money is Monopoly money. And he's really in a Monopoly world. And he's really good at it, because he's in the Monopoly world that he's good at.
And then at the end,
so it basically gets Wizard of Oz with Monopoly.
And at the end, he wakes up.
I didn't get that far. I stopped reading.
Wow, it's terrible.
Ridley Scott is fucking making it.
Yeah.
So you know there's going to be paper money flying through the screen.
It'll be like fairy dust.
Oh, yeah, what else is there? Battleship.
Yeah.
Okay, they're making a movie based off the Ouija board. Now, that makes sense. I could.
Yeah, you could make a movie around that.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, none of those movies will compare to the classic, which is, of course, Jumanji.
What about Clue? They're talking about remaking that.
I'm not familiar with that movie.
It's all right. It's one of those kind of cult movies, I think, now. But it's kind of a interesting concept back when it was released, because they filmed, like, three different endings, and then different theaters around the country got different endings, and so you could, you know, watch it in Philadelphia, and it would end with it being, you know, Mr. Green or whoever. Then if you watched it in Madison, it might be Professor Plum, or so. It's kind of interesting concept.
But now we have giant robots that transform and fart.
You know, that's better than an Iraq War movie, though.
Yeah, I guess. Well, God, that movie was pretty rah-rah, in case you didn't notice.
Really?
It's like, hey, let's just invade, what was it, Egypt?
Yep. Egypt,
no
Jordan.
One will care!
Yeah, we're just going to invade all sorts of sovereign airspace. Don't mind us.
Well, you know, maybe Michael Bay is the only one in Hollywood who's like, you know what, this is how the U.S. really works. I might as well just embrace it.
Exactly.
And God, people line up.
Yep.
That's true.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, that movie alone made probably as much as just about all the Iraq War movies combined.
It probably did. it's kind of funny too. I mean, you know, yeah, people line up for that stuff.
Yep.
I mean, I'm not saying that was a good movie because I thought it was fucking terrible, but that's an interesting way to look at it. Like,
yeah,
people want to like look at the American military in like an idealized sort of way, apparently.
Well, and
you know, you go to college and like every woman is like just, well, yeah. I mean, you can go downtown like Madison.
Yeah, Madison,
there are a lot of women.
It can be kind of like that, yeah.
I don't know if it's quite like that. Well, there certainly aren't any women like dripping over Dwight Schrute, I'm sure of that.
No, I'm pretty sure of that, but yeah, I don't know.
It goes to the college party, and it's like a strip club.
Yeah.
See, whenever a Michael Bay movie gets greenlit, which is far too often, they immediately start building a strip club set, a military command base filled with computer monitors, and a Animal Crackers location.
Yes.
Like that part when they're like sitting by the pyramids.
Yeah, that was the Animal Crackers scene.
I don't understand that. Like, so they go into that building, and then they just go in there to fall asleep? What?
Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah, I really thought the Animal Crackers were going to come out. I was scared. yeah, anyway, maybe we should... I mean, it's a lot of fun talking about this kind of stuff, but maybe our topic?
Sure.
Okay.
Which one?
The new Xbox dashboard.
Oh, okay. Yes, I somehow got in... I just went on the Xbox website a few weeks back and saw that they had a thing where, you know, you could sign up to get into the preview program, and I was like, well, what the hell, I never get accepted into these things, but I'll try it anyways. And I actually got accepted. I wonder if maybe for once they just said, you know what, everybody who wanted to be in it, we'll just give it to them, but whatever. So, it was only like a few days later, and they're like, oh, yep, you're in, and tonight you'll be able to download this, and sure enough, downloaded it, and oh yay, now I can do Facebook and Twitter and Last.fm and all that good stuff. So far, I mean, it's like the Facebook thing, it's fine. I think like probably the two best things about it, one of which you can't even test yet because they don't have the app available on the regular Facebook, is they're supposed to bring out this application that will, you install it on your computer through Facebook, and then you'll be able to see which of your Facebook friends also are on the Xbox. So you'll be able to see, oh, look, I've got all these real-world people that I actually theoretically know in some sort of way that are on the Xbox, and I didn't even know. And so now you can, like, see that and be able to connect with them and, you know, play games or whatever.
That sounds awesome. I can't wait to do that.
Which I thought, that's pretty cool. And then the other thing that's kind of nice is, like, browsing, like, photo albums and stuff on there. I think that's kind of slick how that works. And especially, kind of like you pointed out when you were over last weekend, that stuff's, like, nice if you actually have people over and you're, like, looking through things. And so you can just have it on the TV and bring it up. And
looking through the Facebook, it's like, oh, look at this asshole. It's like, look at this person. Oh, man.
Remember this night? But,
yeah, that's so a
that
cool
stuff's
feature.
Kind of neat. I mean, the rest of it, it's kind of frivolous. I don't know. I mean, it's like, you know, whatever. But I mean, yeah, you can look at, you know, people's status updates, and you can comment on them, and you can, you know, like them and stuff, and, you know, it's all fine, whatever.
I suppose if you're just sitting there, and your Xbox is on anyway, why not?
Yeah. Because maybe not everybody has a laptop that they can have, you know, sitting near them, you know, and so they can just use this to do that stuff. Then the Twitter stuff, I'd never used Twitter before, but I signed up with it so I could use it, and
that's how they get you.
Yeah, and I have to say that I like the Xbox interface infinitely more than the actual online web browser version, because I still say the web browser version looks like some kind of like half-assed, still in development site when you go to it. It just doesn't look polished at all. Where on the 360, the interface actually looks nice and kind of pleasing to the eye or whatever. And it works exactly the same way as the site does, where, you know, you post a comment and boom, you know, it goes on there and you can see all the most recent comments. And
does it integrate into the, what do they call it when the thing comes up in the middle when you push the X button?
Oh, the guide?
The guide. Does it integrate
into
that?
None of this stuff integrates into that, which I was kind of surprised by, actually. But maybe they'll have, you know, some update to it later on where they'll add that functionality.
Oh, isn't one of them built into the Dash? One of them the program? Oh, excuse me.
I don't know.
Are they both programs?
That I don't know.
Hmm.
I just know they're both accessible from the dashboard, like you would expect them to be. But
do you think there's really any use to this, or do you think it's just Microsoft trying to, like, just give you more shit on your Xbox?
Yeah, I think it's just kind of giving you more shit. I mean, the thing to me that's, like, the most disappointing about the update is they're not really, other than that little piece with the Facebook Xbox Friends integration, there's not a lot to this whole update that actually improves, like, the gaming experience in any way that I can see.
Hmm.
Like, the Last.fm stuff, it's kind of cool. It's basically the equivalent of, like, the Netflix stuff last year for video. You know, you just sign up for a freebie account, and then you can go out there and play music. You can't, like, the Last.fm stuff, it's just like Netflix in that you fire the thing up, and it basically consumes everything. I mean, you can bring up the guide button and stuff, but you can't listen to Last.fm music while you're playing a game, for instance. You can't be listening to it while you're browsing the dashboard. None of that. It's just the same as Netflix. When you fire up Netflix,
again,
it
probably
just
be
takes
better
you
if
there's
like people over or something.
Yes. Yeah, like if you're having a get together and you just want to have music playing in the background, you could fire this up and have it going. And I mean, you, of course, could do that through a number of other means as well.
Yeah, the Al Gore in me kind of says, well, you've got like a 14-amp video game console to play music. Seems a little much.
Yeah, like me, I just... Well, I'm horribly inefficient, and I'll have my laptop running, and then I will use the Zune link over to the 360 and play the music off of my laptop from the 360 with my TV on.
Al Gore just died inside.
Good. Well, like, screw him. My carbon footprint is infinitely smaller than his still, so he can piss up a rope.
Oh, that's right. You were a Ralph Nader fan back in that election, right?
Yep.
Hey, check this out. I can be like Assassin's Creed, see?
Nice.
And my accent's the same as that guy's, too. I am a Middle Eastern man. I will do this mission. Altair, you must find the Templars, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I will.
Yeah.
That's pretty jarring.
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
But that new one's coming out, right?
Yep. You know, a little over a week, or a little less than a week, actually.
I wonder if it'll sell as many copies as Modern Warfare 2.
Probably not, but the first Assassin's Creed sold way more than I ever thought it would have by looking at the numbers. It was like 8 million units or something across the 360 and PS3.
Jeez.
But, yeah, so I don't know, the dashboard update, it's fine, but it doesn't add anything that I would consider particularly useful. They also, you'll notice when it installs that now there's a music marketplace, and so you'll have, but it's called like the Zune marketplace, and like the video marketplace is now like the Zune video marketplace. And
so they just slathered the word Zune everywhere?
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's like they're just kind of trying to put the Zune brand out there a bit more, which I'm fine with.
I'm sure there's more Xboxes than Zunes.
Yes. But it's, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. It's kind of, and there'll be a new tab called, like, Community. And that's where, like, the Facebook and Twitter stuff goes.
And the Community Games?
Oh, did they? I think those are still just under the game marketplace.
Oh, we should talk about the game. I made a game with zombies in it.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
The one I actually bought. It was so awesome. I mean, it's just this overhead shooter where you shoot zombies, so it's like Smash TV, except for you're just in an open field. But the guy, like, sings a song in the background about the game while you're playing it. How could I not support that?
Yeah, so wasn't it like $1 or
something? Yeah, and he's like, I made this game with X and A. It's only $1, so you should pay. Yes, so if you see the game, I made a game with zombies in it. Try it. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, it was kind of fun. It was worth $1, I would say.
It's only $1, so you should pay. yeah.
So, what about
Left 4 Dead 2? That's coming out now.
Yeah, that's that. God, what is it? It's that and Assassin's Creed 2, and it seems like there's something else that'll come out like next Tuesday.
What other games could there be?
I don't know. It seems like they keep pooping them out, though.
Is it Band Hero? Wait, no, that's out.
That's already out. That's actually been getting good reviews. Where Lego
Rock Band?
That's already out, too.
It is?
Yeah, that came out, like, the 3rd. But yeah, that's actually not been getting that good of reviews from what I've read.
Oh, noes.
Like, that was getting, like, 3 out of 5, where, like, Band Hero was actually getting, like, 4.5 out of 5. And
well, it's got Taylor Swift in it. I mean, obviously.
Well, it sounds like they actually, one thing I think's kind of cool about it, and it was something that when we were playing Lips that one night that I realized later on was cool about it, is that you can't fail. And apparently on Band Hero, they made it, like, you can't fail in the songs. There's certain thing, something with how the scoring works, like your score will decrease. I think maybe Lego Rock Band does this too. But it's like your score will decrease, but then as you start playing better, then your score goes up, back up again, but you can't fail. Which I think that's kind of an important thing. I think that's one of those things that would make, like, Lips, you know, easy to pick up for people, because it's like, you know, people don't want to go up there, and I mean, maybe they won't sing that great, or they won't, you know, play that great, But as long as they're having fun, it's cool. But if you have, like, this threat of, oh, I'm failing and I'm the one, like, bringing everybody else's, you know, fun down, then it makes people not want to jump in, I guess.
Did we talk about lips yet? I think that was before the last podcast, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think we might have mentioned it briefly. I don't know if we really... I think we kind of talked about how it was, like, way better
than we
thought.
No, we did it, because that was the same day that we went and bought lips. Because remember, we did the podcast.
Oh, yeah, we did, and then we went there afterwards.
So
yeah,
the world does not know about lips.
That's right.
Because obviously, if we haven't talked about it, the world does not know.
Well, we have to let them know about the power of this amazing game.
Well, backstory. Like... Back when, like, we were roommates and Dave and Mary were there, too, we would always watch the lips demonstration video from the Xbox.
Yes.
And it was so dumb because it's like, blah, 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 blah. It's in this apartment building or something, which, of course, is enormous.
Yes.
And there's all these people in there, and they're all dressed in black, right? And not a single one of these people would own a Microsoft product.
Yes.
But they're sitting there, and there's an Xbox there, and it's playing lips. And then there's this guy and this girl, and they're sitting at both ends of the couch, and again, you wouldn't have a completely empty couch at a party, but, you know, that's brass tacks. And he tries to get her attention, and she doesn't care or something. But then he starts playing lips, and then she's like, oh, well, this guy's obviously cool. And then this other woman shrugs or something.
Yep.
Anyway, so everyone starts playing lips, and then they pick up the controller, and someone's shaking it like that actually does something.
Yes.
Like, just the Xbox controller, but you can shake the lips controllers. Anyway, so we saw this video, we just thought it was stupid. So anyway, after we did the podcast last week, what was it, something like,
I had mentioned to you that Preplayed had lips used with both mics for like $37. And then you were like, well, shit, I gotta get Rock Band 2 anyway, we'll go to GameStop. And then while you were at GameStop, you got convinced enough, I guess, to go to Preplayed and see if they had it.
Yeah, because they had it used, but it wasn't that cheap.
Yeah, it was like $50 or something.
But I think you called it because Microsoft must have recalled all the lips packages so they could repackage the microphone separately for like $50 each.
Yep. And it's the same goddamn mic.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they probably thought, well, you know what? People don't really want our lips game, but they'd rather use these microphones for Rock Band or Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
But the thing is, so we got lips, but turns out lips is actually pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's well done. It's got songs, you know, that a greater percentage of the population would know, I would think.
Yep.
Just the whole presentation of it's pretty slick, I thought, and then it has that goddamn video with that dog, like space dog. It's just got some freaking batshit insane videos that'll play in the background.
Yes, if the song doesn't have a video, it like either puts like this dog, like batshit insane videos.
Weren't there
in the
like
background.
Bacon trees and shit?
And the dog was in space or something. It's really something to see.
Yeah.
The one was the other one was like snakes eating an ice cream cone.
Oh god, yeah, that's right. But yeah, then some songs, you know, they'll actually have, like, the video for the song, and so that'll play in the background. And then, like, the DLC, there's a lot of good stuff out there, and,
like
the songs...
Sure.
Yeah, and the songs will cost the same whether they have a video or not, which I guess is kind of neat, because, you know, if it's $2 and it comes with the video, too, that's kind of cool, so... yeah, I don't know, I was pleasantly surprised by it.
Yeah, it was... Yeah, it was pretty cool.
The one thing I will say about the wireless microphones that come with it, they work pretty good, but they suck ass for like doing the tambourine-type thing, because didn't we try it in Rock Band, and I couldn't hit shit with it, but the regular...
Yeah, that part didn't work very good.
The regular Rock Band mic works very well for that.
And also, like, how to use the microphones, like how to turn them on and sync them is not really documented at all.
Yeah, we screwed around with them for like 15 minutes, could not get them working, and finally it's like, well, time to go look at the interwebs, and sure enough, somebody, you know, had a thread out there, okay, this is how you sync them, and it's...
Because the instruction book didn't really have anything.
Yeah, it just said, oh, turn them on, and blah, 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 it had nothing about actually syncing them.
It wasn't like you had to, like, tap the button to sync them or something? I can't remember now.
I think you had to hit it twice. It was, yeah, weird.
Yeah, it was really counterintuitive.
And I was like, maybe this is why this game didn't catch on. People got it home, and they're like, God damn it, we can't even get these mics to work.
It's like, how am I supposed to attract this woman dressed in all black to sit on my side of the couch if I can't get the microphone to work? If you told me things you did before, told me how you used to be.
Oh, Lord. End that video plays when the game boots.
That was awesome!
It's just like, oh, God,
oh,
here
I
it
should
is.
Watch it right now!
It's like, they got a lot of play out of that video.
Well, I mean, I hope so. I mean, that video is probably very expensive because they had all those bowls of nuts. And,
yeah.
And that woman shrugging.
That was a pretty nice apartment.
It's like, what the fuck was that woman even shrugging at? She just kind of shrugs.
She's like, I don't know. Maybe he's kind of cool. Maybe I should get in on this. I don't know.
Ugh. Lips. Okay.
Yes.
So the Facebook Twitter thing sounds functional, but...
Yes.
Well, you know, Facebook and Twitter is like kind of a way to waste your time. And if you're using the Xbox, you're already wasting your time. So it's like you're wasting time while wasting time.
Sure. How can Fallout 3 be wasting time, though?
That's true. I think you know what I mean, though. It's like... I don't know. It seems like... It's kind of slow. There's no keyboard unless you have a keyboard controller, and even that isn't really that great.
Yeah. Mine, I should have taken it back when I first bought it, because the I key on mine, it like works like half the time.
Hmm.
Like, you really have to press it down for it to register. Every other one's fine, but the I key, no. And of course, you use that key an awful lot.
Right. You're like, I went to see iRobot with my iPhone.
Instead, it says went to see robot with phone.
.com. Okay, well, maybe for our final topic, we should talk about Modern Warfare 2, which is a video game. You know what? Is there even really a point of talking about it? Everyone that listens to this podcast probably has already beaten it.
But we can give our 2 cents about it.
Oh, okay. Well,
so,
Keith David is in it.
Yes, which is never a bad thing. Because he's been in Halo 3 as the Arbiter, and he was also in Mass Effect.
Oh.
Quite a lot, actually. And I think he's... I hope he's going to be back in Mass Effect 2, because his character was kind of cool. But,
Keith
and he's
David
been in some other games,
he
too.
He should be in every video game.
I would be fine with that.
Keith, you got to give that baby a real name, David.
Yes. But, yeah, like, the coolest thing I think about it, and the thing that got me to be interested in it, was the Special Ops mode, or Spec Ops. And it's basically, like, it's Modern Warfare 2's, like, co-op mode, basically. Which is cool, because originally I heard that there just wasn't going to be any co-op in it, but it was just that there's not a co-op campaign. But basically, a lot of these co-op missions, they're kind of based off of segments of the actual campaign, it seems
right.
like. And there's some kind of neat parts to it. Like, there's some missions where, you know, a lot of them are just, you know, the two of you, you're going in and you have to, like, grab some intel. So you have to mow down a bunch of, you know, bad dudes or whatever and get the intel and then get out of there. But then there's some missions that are pretty sweet where you have, like, one person's on the ground and the other one's, like, in a helicopter providing cover fire for them. And then there's one where it's, like, the guy's on the ground and there's the other person's in the AC-130 just blowing the shit out of everybody and providing cover
again. That mission
again.
Was cool.
And,
just look both ways before you cross the street.
Yes.
And we should tell that story.
Yes, and the day it came out, it was like, okay, well, when I get home, you know, let's play Spec Ops or whatever. So I get home, Ben's on live, I'm on live. It's like, okay, let's fire this up. And so we're going in, playing through some of the modes, and we get to the one with the helicopter and the guy on the ground, and then you have to, like, liberate Nate's Supper Club or Sports Bar or whatever the hell it
the
is.
The battle for Nate's Sports Bar.
And it's pretty cool, because, I mean, it starts out, you know, and you're out kind of in this little, you know, suburban residential area, and all these, you know, terrorists or whatever are traipsing through the neighborhood. And
I think they're Russians.
Yeah. Well, what, Russians can't be terrorists?
But no, I think it's like the Russian army. It's not terrorists.
Well, screw them anyway.
See, I actually thought that part of the game was more disconcerting than the airport scene.
Yeah. But so anyway, we're going along and mowing these guys down, and eventually you get up to, like, this gas station, And you got to blow the shit out of that, of course. And everybody's cleared out, and I'm kind of up in the chopper, and the chopper kind of, like, waits, you know, for the guy on the ground, like, wherever he is, it doesn't really move on. And so then Ben, you know, starts going out to the street, and he, it was so funny, because I could see him from up in the chopper, and he's, like, just going kind of slowly going out in the street, then it's kind of like, eh, okay, I'm good to go. Kind of like a squirrel or something, you know, when you see a squirrel out on the road. So then you, like, take off, and it's, like, perfectly timed. Here comes this transport truck from the side. And I could see it coming, but I couldn't, like, react quick enough. I started shooting the thing, but there's no way I could blow it up, but the transport truck just freaking mows him over. And it was so funny, because I could hear in the headset where you're like, what the... Ah! And you're like, damn it!
The worst part is, we'd already done that mission, or, like, we'd already gotten that far before, so I should have known it was coming.
Yep. So now, like, the gag is that it's, like, look both ways.
Oh, God, what about that mission last night where we had to, like, take over that estate house? You remember that?
Oh, God, that goddamn
thing. That took forever.
Thing. Yeah. We probably played that for at least an hour.
That was just the one star.
Yeah. Mode. And it had all those goddamn juggernaut guys.
There's, like, what, six? There's, like, five things, like Echo, Charlie, Delta. And each one of them has, like, six missions inside of it.
Like, five, yeah. Five. The last one only has three, I guess, but...
Okay. Each one of those, there's like a 3-star rating, basically like the difficulty. So that's either like what difficulty you set it to or how well you do in it.
Yes.
And the goal is to like get 3 stars on all of the things. It's kind of like Rock Band.
Yep.
But yeah, like that one last night, like we had a hell of a time just getting the 1 star.
Yeah. We started to figure out how to deal with those juggernaut guys, like the flashbangs and stuff work on them. But you get a nice like... sound cue whenever they're coming, we realized probably after we've been playing it for like at least a half hour.
Yeah, just like Left 4 Dead.
And then it's like, oh, wait a minute, I think whenever it goes like dong, like that, that's when the juggernauts show up.
Actually, those modes remind me a lot of Left 4 Dead because a lot of times you start out, there's a bunch of guns laying there and you grab whatever you want and then you go for it.
Yeah. But yeah, so that mode's pretty cool. There's a lot of kind of neat stuff. There's like the snowmobile sequence where both of you are on snowmobiles and shooting dudes on other snowmobiles and blasting along, and
yeah,
you got to get through it
snowmobile
as
level.
Quick as possible. And I haven't even played the multiplayer yet. You played that a little, didn't you?
Couple rounds.
Yeah, it's pretty
the
standard.
The matchmaking is pretty fast. I'm probably because everyone's playing the game. I don't know. It works. I mean, certainly, though, as I mentioned yesterday, you know, like when I heard about all the PC people complaining about the PC version, which I agree with.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, oh, great. Now I'm only going to have to play on the Xbox with all like the racist noobs. And I'm like, oh, it's not really that bad, is it? So then I was playing on launch day or launch night or whatever. And yeah.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. It sounds like you're in fucking high school.
Oh, and speaking of this. I was talking to a dude at work the other day, and while I was talking to him, I came up with this great innovation for Xbox Live. So, Bill Gates, or Steve Ballmer, whoever the hell, Larry Herb, whatever the hell your goddamn name is, take note. In these games, and I guess it would kind of be game-dependent as well, so it's not just Microsoft, but they should make it where you could filter based on age. I'm all in favor of ageism in this case. Like, I should be able to go in and play with people that are between, like, 30 and 40 years old. If I want to.
That's such a great idea.
Yeah. Because it's like they have all that information off of your live profile when you sign up.
Is your age on there?
Your birth date. You put that in.
Well, that would
somewhere
be your
along
age.
The way. So they can calculate all that.
That's the nice thing about PC. It's usually older people.
Yes. So, I mean, I'll give them that. It's like... it's definitely a more mature experience. I think even on the PS3, it's a more mature experience than it is on the 360.
Yeah, it's like, you know, this is an M-rated game. How are all these kids getting it? It's so fucking dumb.
Yeah. But that was just something I thought of the other day. I'm like, wow, here's an amazing innovation for online gameplay that would make Xbox Live, like, way more enjoyable. Because that's always my thing. You know, you go online and there's always some goddamn, like, 12-year-old kid singing. Why? That happens all the time. It's just, la, 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 I'm going to be an annoying ass.
Yeah, I don't get that.
It's like, well, I have this mute button, goodbye, but still it'd
that's
be...
That's what I noticed when I was playing the other night. I mean, you spend, like, the first few minutes of the round just muting assholes.
Yeah.
Because they sit there and they're just like, I mean,
where they'll be like, you know, fuck it, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I mean, my language is not exactly past for Christian or yes. Sunday school, but I mean, to go online, just be like, oh, fuck you, faggot, fuck this, fuck, fag. It's fuck, fag, 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 fuck. That's.
And then some sort of racist slurs along the way. And
it's terrible. Yeah, like, if anyone's name is anything, it's like, oh, you must be a fucking German or something. It's like, who gives a fuck? I mean, they must be like little racist kids or something.
Well, and the thing is, you know, it's the battle that's been waged with the internet all these years since it's been around is just, you know, the internet makes people. There's an anonymity to it to a certain extent, and so people just kind of let loose because it's like, well, I don't know these people. What the hell do I care? I'm going to be a complete jack-off now, which is what I really want to be in my real life, apparently.
Why do I have a DVD of Napoleon Dynamite?
Is that a Dave cast-off or something?
It must be. God, I never noticed that before.
Yeah, you have that, but you don't have Titanic.
But I do have Twister and Trespass. And, of course, Bewitched Housewives. But, yeah, I mean, it definitely was. Well, these kids shouldn't be playing the game anyway. But then, like, if you were some other parent who you shouldn't be letting your kid play the game anyway. But on top of that, would you want them to be subjected to that kind of language and stuff? I mean, it's terrible.
Yeah.
I mean,
the thing is, it's, you know, we're kind of painting with broad strokes, obviously. I mean, I've played with plenty of kids, you know, that are like teenage age, and they're perfectly fine, too, you know, but it's like my best gaming experiences online have been when I've been playing with, like, mature people that are generally around my age. You know, there's always exceptions, but it's like I played Project Gotham Racing 3, like, long ago, and everybody in there, you know, you could just tell there was a maturity level at work. Nobody was, like, crashing each other. People just wanted to race
and race clean.
Nobody was singing. You know, after the race, people were like, man, good race. You know, they were, like, congratulating, you know, and stuff like that. And, I was like, that was, like, my first, like, online gaming experience. I'm like, wow, this is, like, really cool. You know, and then I go off and play some, you know, multiplayer shooter, and then it's all this, you know, blah, 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 you know, and just stupid crap and... You know, and like with Lost Planet, I had a lot of good experiences too. And I think maybe that's the key is to not get the super popular multiplayer games. You know, it's like Lost Planet, it had it sold well and it had a, you know, pretty solid following. But, you know, all the pain in the ass people were off playing like Call of Duty or Halo, you know, and so it kind of like leaves it to a different crowd, I guess. Maybe that's the key. I don't know. But. That's the golden idea there, game developers and everybody else. Like, put age filters on online matchmaking, and it would make a lot of people happy.
Well, they match you based off skill
rank
anyway.
And stuff, yeah.
So why not do that, too?
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
It's like, I'd be perfectly fine with that.
These goddamn kids.
Because It's just amazing, like, the difference, you know, because, like, if you get in a match, you know, and you're playing with a bunch of, like, you know, mature people, it's just, like, more relaxing and it's just fun, you know?
Or just people that are quiet.
Yeah, even that, you know?
I mean, it kind of sucks that, like, you can't do party chat, because I think the main reason to do party chat, well, in team deathmatch, is just to not hear the other people.
Yeah.
Just your friends. I mean, I guess you could mute them all but your friends, but still.
Because we'd do that all the time, like, in Halo 3, you know, it'd just be, like, me, you, Funky, you know, whatever. Chat and stuff like that. And,
oh, yeah, they had party chat, but they didn't have parties yet, right?
Yeah.
Oh, chat channel, right? Is that what it was called back then?
I think, maybe. But yeah, you could have, because you could have up to, I can't remember how many people in it, but I don't know. It was just, I don't know. That was, like, my big thing with that stuff, is it's like, I just want to talk to these people and game. You know, I don't give a shit about any of these other anonymous people I don't know. I don't give a shit about tactics, because I'm just going to run around and fling grenades around and shoot shit and run over people. And it's like, I mean, let's face it, Halo isn't a very tactical game, generally. So
a million fanboys just cried in anguish.
It's just like, screw it.
Yeah.
But with Modern Warfare 2... We both played the controversial airport sequence, and to me, when I played that, I'm like, yeah, this is another example of political pundits and commentators and whatever getting, like, a scrap of the story and then just running with it and interpreting it however they want. Because, you know, they heard, oh my god, there's a scene where you're in this airport and civilians are being blown away. God, this is the end of the world. Where the way the scene really plays out in the game is you're a CIA operative who's infiltrated this Russian gang of, you know, like, extremists or whatever. And so you're kind of, like, proving yourself to them. But when you go into the airport, yeah, they start mowing down the civilians. You don't actually have to shoot any of the civilians. You can just, like, walk along behind them. But, yeah, if you want, you can shoot them and whatever. And then you get along, and then the part where you do have to do something is, like, when the cops start showing up and all that stuff, and you have to start, like, fighting your way out of the airport. But even in the scene when they're setting it up, you know, the guy who's, you know, debriefing you or whatever, you know, he's saying, you know, this, he's like, you're going to have to do some things, you know, that you, it'll be very hard to live with, but he's like, these sacrifices are for, you know, the greater good, and, you know, the sacrificing the few will save the many and all that shit.
Even though it all goes south in the game.
Yes, and it does, you know, go south, which I think,
way,
you know,
south.
Which I think, you know, plays in the game's favor as well, but I just think it's one of those things where, you know, it got taken out of context and people blew it out of proportion to serve their own agendas, of course.
I don't know if it was that far out of context.
I don't know, it was pretty far out of context.
I didn't really think it was that disturbing. I mean,
yeah, I didn't either. I was like, this same scene has played out in how many movies before?
And how many Grand Theft Auto games?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and that was my thing, too. I'm like, but of course, you know, Grand Theft Autos have been controversial in the past, but it's like, you know, to me, the violence in those games, which I don't really have a problem with, but it's much more random in those. You know, it's just like, oh, I'm going to, you know, drive down the sidewalk and just run over people. Like, where in this game, there's, like, a purpose to it. And, I mean, I think the thing, you know, with the scene is it's, you know, trying to convey, you know, these, this is what it's like to be on that side of the fence, and this is where their motivations come from, and it kind of gives you kind of, I don't know, a feeling of what it's like to live with that or whatever. I don't think it's like breeding people to be terrorists or anything and all that sort of crap. I just don't understand people. It's people that don't play games that just don't understand things and they have their own agenda.
But you can skip that scene if you want, making the game only 3 hours long.
Yeah, they ask you, like, right when, it's not even when you get to that scene. It's like when the game boots up, there's, like, multiple, it asks you, like, twice. Like, there's certain scenes in this game that are, you know, could be disturbing, you know, do you want to skip these? And you say no, and then it says, well, when these scenes pop up in the game, do you want to be warned and given the ability to skip them, and then you can say no again, and then it just won't bug you about it again, but...
See, I don't know about that. That must...
I don't get that either, because it's basically you're calling attention to it.
Yeah.
You know?
I get... You know, it's still... I mean, I felt more disturbed, like, killing characters in Fallout than I did during that scene. I mean...
Yeah. I don't know. And that's the thing, too. You know, Fallout, you can go around and blow away anybody you want.
Right, but then, like, you actually feel bad about it in Fallout, like I do.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a video game, but you know, but... Well, I thought, like, the part where all the Russians were, like, paratrooping into, like, Washington, D.C. was a lot more disconcerting than the airport scene. I mean...
I didn't even get to that part yet, but...
I thought you got to that part. You got to the Nate's sports bar thing, didn't you?
Well, I just got to the beginning of the mission.
Oh.
So...
But yeah, it's basically America's being invaded by the Russians, because the Russians are pissed because of the airport thing.
Yeah.
But
because that all gets turned around, of course.
I guess the reason I found that disconcerting was because, like, wow, this could actually happen. So,
yeah.
But that's okay, because what's his face? Be like, time deathmatch and save the day.
Yeah, for me, it's kind of interesting. Like, I think this game, in my opinion, is far superior to Modern Warfare 1. Like, I just did not care for that game really at all. I thought the campaign was kind of lame. The missions just weren't that interesting. Where in this one, I've only played a handful of the missions, but they're all kind of interesting. I mean, it's basically like, you know, you watch a summer movie and it's just action set pieces, and maybe it's like watching a Michael Bay movie, you know, playing this game, I don't know, but it's just, that's like all it is. It's just nonstop action, and it's got interesting locales. It's kind of like a very violent Bond movie.
You got Stu, you're all over the fucking world. You're like, what, you're like in Russia, then you're in
Rio de
Brazil.
Janeiro at one point. You're in the Afghanistan mountains.
Oh, God, that part. I swear I had to kill all of Brazil in that scene. It took forever.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, that part was that part was pretty tough for just, like, I was playing on a regular difficulty, and I thought it was even pretty tough, but...
yeah, it was.
But, yeah, I don't know, it just seems more interesting this time. I mean, really, the best thing I can, you know, equate it to is it feels like you're playing a season of 24. Like, I don't know, it just feels like 24 the game or something when you're playing this stuff.
I don't know if it's like light years beyond the last one, but I think it has more diversity now.
Yeah.
Because the last one was pretty much just the Middle East and Russia and stuff. And
that's what I didn't care about for it. It's like, oh wow, another drab, burned out, you know, town or whatever. It's like, who gives a shit?
What about that sniper spec op mission? That was pretty cool, remember?
Which one? There were a couple.
Remember the one where
was the one
like,
in the snow? Or
no, the one with all the tanks. And there's
oh,
other snipers.
Yes. Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of neat stuff in there. They have some nice variation in it, and I think they did a good job with that mode. And it is kind of interesting how, like, all these games now, they basically have, like, a horde mode in them. I mean, in this, they don't have a specific mode for that, but some of these Spec Ops missions are basically the same thing, where you have, like, wave after wave coming at you.
Yep. And then Halo has, like, what, firefight mode, or ODST?
Yeah, ODST, they added, like, I think it's, like, firefight.
And, like, you know, World of War, of course, had Nazi zombies.
Yep.
I don't know if it compares to Nazi zombies, though.
Yeah, I never got that into that, but I don't know. It was something, I guess.
See, I actually like World at War. A lot of people
I like that one a lot, too. I still think World at War is more enjoyable than this game, like from the campaign standpoint. And
I still
go back to my old line that, you know, World War II, you feel like something's at stake, where in this it's just like, I mean, the levels are much cooler this time, but the story's like so disjointed. It's like a bunch of like kind of vignettes that you're playing through, and they're very loosely connected, it seems like. I don't know. It's just, it's fine and
all.
The
story does move like awfully fast, and it's like, oh, there's a satellite piece in the snow, and then...
Yeah.
Then these satellites are broken, and then the Russians are attacking, and then...
Yeah, because, I mean, literally, like we were talking about, it's like... I can't remember where the game starts.
You're, like, in Afghanistan, I think.
Okay, so it's like you're there...
And you're hanging out with, of course, Keith David.
Yes. Okay, you're, like, there, then you go into the Afghanistan mountains, then you go to, like, Rio, then you go to,
then
what, D.C.,
American,
I guess, next?
Yeah, the American scene.
Oh, and you had the Russian airport scene thing there somewhere.
The battle for Nate's sports bar.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's really kind of all over the map, literally. But that's fine.
Well, you get different locations that way, just like a Bond movie.
Yeah. I mean, I would much prefer this to what the first Modern Warfare was, because Modern Warfare, I kind of had to, like, force myself to get through that campaign, and the only notable moments in that campaign I can recall were the AC-130 mission, and then the post-credits Air Force One, you know, minute and a half long
thing.
I thought that was pretty cool, but the rest of the game was very forgettable as far as I'm concerned. It's funny, I read some of these reviews, and they're like, you know, nobody does, you know, FPS story, you know, and plot better than Infinity Ward, and I'm like, really? Is this the best that you expect?
They must have never played Uncharted 2.
Yes.
It's not FPS, granted.
Well, I mean, if you want to talk FPS, like, well, Fallout 3, really, it's an FPS. It's not, you know, what you would think of in the same breath as
True.
Call of Duty and things, but it's still first person.
Post-apocalyptic team deathmatch.
There's a lot of shooting that goes on in it.
Oh, lots of shooting. Super mutants.
But yeah.
A simple plot plan.
Yeah, so...
Yeah,
I'll have to try out the multiplayer and see how it is. Hopefully, the one thing I kind of joked about is I was like, oh, maybe I can go back and play the multiplayer in World at War now because all of the really hardcore, really good people will have moved on to Modern Warfare 2. And so maybe I can actually enjoy World at War's online again.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is definitely one of those, you know, epic Halo 3-esque things where you go
everybody
online and, like, everybody's playing it. Like, I looked last night and there were only 13 people online last night, but 10 of them were playing this. And the night it came out, I think there were, like, 23 people online and, like, 14 or 15 of them were playing this.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely the big game.
So, yeah. I guess it's had ridiculously high sales, like $4.7 million or 4.7 million units. I should say
first day.
On the first day.
So I'm sure it sold like, you know, 6 more copies since then, right?
I would think 1 or 2 anyway.
Well, according to the box art, apparently the Capitol building gets blown up in this game. So
yeah.
There'll be some sort of like Washington Mall fight scene.
Yeah, the Capitol's having a rough time. Fallout 3 blew the shit out of DC proper.
Yeah, so let's see. We'll have to see how it compares to Fallout 3.
I doubt it will stack up.
Well, we'll have to see. Well, all right. So I don't think there's anything else left for us to really talk about, but
no.
We certainly managed to fill up the time and then some.
Yes. Somehow we never have a problem with that.
That's right. All right, well, until next time, we will see you, and this is the BenHeck.com podcast. Yahoo.
Adios.